And that'll include both people online as well as here in person. It's now my great pleasure to introduce a new friend of mine. He is down from the reservation just by Springville, so we offer him clean air. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? But Warren has been a great example of how to just dive right in the middle of his recovery, and it's been a great pleasure getting to know him. And I'm excited that you now will get a chance to know air. Warren, so, my friend?
Hello, everybody. Warren, alcoholic. First of all, I just want to thank my creator for me this Friday, because without him, it's definitely not possible to meet me here in front of you guys today, you know, with 233 days of continuous sobriety.
Yeah, so.
You know, I apologize to my elders, you know, for being a friend of the custom of my culture, to apologize for the ones that are older than me to deceive in the presence, you know, it's a blessing for us, you know what I mean? But that's something that I'm getting back into. You know, I grew up in a spiritual way and lost that, you know, came disconnected at an early age, you know, which really proves my story. You know, I think I had my first drink when I was like between 6 and 7. You know, I had a can of Old Milwaukee's Best, so I was sitting in my dad's refrigerator then, and my cousins, my older cousins, I'd be funny to get me drunk, you know, and so I drank it, and the only thing I remember is coming to when I was all time. You know, apparently I had lost control somewhere along the line, and I tried to stab one of my cousins that was attracted to me on the car, you know. I guess I think he became violent, I don't know, for whatever reason, but, you know, after that, you know, I don't really remember drinking too much, you know, after that. Besides, like, from maybe when I hit, like, 12 years old, you know, I started smoking, and, smoking marijuana, and then occasionally, you know, sipping on beer whenever, there was a house party, you know, my mom and dad did some pretty good little shindigs, man, and, they kind of went all night, you know, and it was dancing and, you know, came some beer. And so for myself, you know, I got pretty curious. And at first, to start off, by throwing up cups, you know, for everybody and taking little drinks while we're passing them out, you know, trying to be helpful, I guess, you know, just so I could have that little taste. And then by the time everybody got drunk, would be in, you know, my room, being a couple of my cousins just enjoying, you know, a little bit of beer, you know, we thought we were enjoying, you know, and just remember waking up the next morning, not even remembering what had happened, you know? So I think, you know, early in the drinking was an early telltale sign, I guess, to say of what my life would be like to continue to drink, you know? And maybe I should listen, because after that, I ended up many times in a blackout drunk, you know? So I kind of think that was my creator's way at that time of telling me something, you know, letting me know. And moving forward, you know, I hit like 14 years old. I ended up getting in trouble, you know. I was out drinking on the reservation. I was in war, and we ended up getting drunk, you know, and I defended myself, that's why I ended up out, you know, like out of that, I ended up with a 7-year sentence, you know, at 15 years old. I turned 15. I turned 15 when I was filing my case, you know, and then, with that, 5 years, 11 months behind bars, and I wasn't even sober there. You know, check like that. You know, whether it was hand sanitizer or you know, making my own, you know, drink, I would do so. You know, so just grew up pretty rough. You know, and there's a reason why I bring that up. You know, because it taught me that you know, as soon as I got out when I was like 19, and I thought I knew what freedom felt like right when I walked out those gates. You know, later on, I walked out, and I went to school over at the store, and I went to the liquor store, and I came out with my bottle of whiskey, you know, cracked that seal, and, you know, had that drink, and then I thought, you know, this is what it feels like, you know, this is what it tastes like, you know? Needless to say, I didn't realize, you know, that at that moment, all I was doing was trading one form of incarceration for another.
Yeah,
you know, that's all I was doing. I was I was putting myself in a bottle, you know, for years to come. And now that, you know, I'm sober and I get to do that, you know, and I get to go ahead and look back on my life and to deal with it, you know, everything that I've been through in my past, I start to see, like, that's actually what I did, you know. So, fast forward a couple years, you know, just like, probably not even, I wasn't even out for maybe two weeks, not even that, maybe like a week, and I got in trouble for narcotics, you know. So I went to a treatment center down in Long Beach. So that treatment center, I was there for 8 months, and I didn't really do anything about it, you know. To be honest, I'd get home basketball, I'd go home, and I'd smoke and I'd drink, you know. And somehow I would pass it. Drug test, you know, when I came back, and so, you know, I didn't, and the reason I bring that up too is because, you know, this program was placed, you know, the tools were placed at my disposal back then, you know, and in 2005, and it didn't matter, you know, I wasn't ready yet. I didn't find that bottom, I didn't hit that desperate moment, I didn't hit the gift of desperation, you know. I continued to drink, and I ended up moving out to Nebraska. And I went probably maybe like 2 or 3 years of not drinking. You know, I was fighting wildland fire out there for like 10 years, and you know, didn't really drink too much at first until one day I decided to pick up a drink. You know, that same night I picked up a drink, I got a DUI. You know, I continued to drink after that. I got another DUI probably within like the same month, the end of that month. You know, and so I went to jail. You know. And then, you know, I finally started showing up to work a little bit late, you know. I wasn't too punctual. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, man, it's my environment, you know. Maybe if I move back home, I think I'm ready to move back home. Maybe if I move home, everything will be all right, you know. Like, it'll get back to normal, you know. Like, I don't have to be around the same people, you know. And did that, you know, came back home, and it didn't matter, it was like, for me, you know, as long as I was willing to pick that bottle back up, pick that joint back up, then it was there, you know. I didn't have no control over that, and I see that now, and the only way I see that now is from doing the work, the suggestion, and then the 12 steps, and the book about false minds. You know, I didn't think I had a problem, you know, conceiving to my inner self that I was a real alcoholic, because, you know, fast forward a couple years, in 2018, I shot myself in an act of drunk, you know, on 4th of July. I lost a quarter inch of this jaw, I got a metal rod that was from here to here. And, you know, I lay there in the hospital bed, and you know, my companion, she had my daughter and her son at the time, you know. And I laid there, I made so many promises. You know, so many, I'm never going to do this again, I'm never going to do that again. I didn't even think that would have opened my eyes, I ain't going to shoot this, you know. But it didn't. It didn't. You know, those effects that the book says, the biblical anonymous has taught me that the effects are so elusive, you can't tell the truth from the lies. You know, and I couldn't even see the old lies I was telling myself and my family, you know. So I got out, and as soon as my jaw went apart, I went to the bookstore, I picked up the book. And then it became another excuse, right, that, oh man, you don't understand, I'm in pain, you know what I mean, this is I'm hurting, I got another excuse now, you know, to drink. And, you know, for me, once I get going in my alcoholism, my alcoholism gets to a drug addiction, and then it becomes a vicious cycle, you know, like I'm getting drunk to use, I'm using to stay getting sober and drink some more, you know. And needless to say, there is no spirituality. You know, it's straight full spot from reality, spiritually disconnected, and straight up insane at moments, you know? And so I didn't, you know, a lot of this stuff I'm barely finding out today. You know, it's only through, you know, the 12 steps that I'm learning this, I can't say that enough, but, you know, I kept drinking for another almost 3 years, so then, you know, it brings me to my sober date is, February 5th, 2021, my last drunk, you know, I kicked my own door and, you know, I busted my window up, you know, of my own home, and my companion and my kids were on the side, you know. I can't tell you what set me off because I was like, I don't know. You know, the truth is, I really don't know, you know. I woke up at my dad's and I'm like, oh, you know, what's going on? I have no shirt, no shoes on, you know, I want to look tall, something. And my dad's like, I don't know, son, but is Chuck Beacon on board, and who's where I am, what was going on, and talk to me. I mean, it's gone that as I've never been in my truck. Well, I go get my truck, and what do you do when you feel so ashamed, and you're dealing with those demons, and you're like, man, what, no, that'll happen. Well, you know, that's kind of Peter how I'm feeling right now, so I don't feel too good. And I grabbed that bottle of whiskey again, you know, I grabbed a couple, two pints, and, finished one on the way back up the hill, and started sipping on that next one, and I know something inside of me was telling me, like, go to your house. You know, I went to the house, and she didn't want you on the road around. She's like, where's me? She's like, you know what you did last night? She's like, you scared the shit out of me. She was like, I don't know you like that. You know, like that. And it was scary. It was scary, you know, to hear that. And I'm like, oh, well, fuck, I'm going down the road. And you want me here? I'm not going to be here, you know. I'm going to do what I do, you know. And continue to drink, and, I just went down and sat with my dad, and I just sitting there with my shirt crying. I said, man, Dad, I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I said, you know me. He goes, like, I'm not just scared of too much, you know, I'm not scared of much, man, but I'm starting to get scared of this dependence part. You know, like, I don't know what it is, man, but I feel like something inside me is going to cease to exist, you know, and so the next day, you know, when I woke up, I called our drug and alcohol coordinator at the organization, and I asked him if they'd throw me out, you know, and they asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, maybe I need an inpatient treatment, you know. So, that's where my journey started. I went to police officer there, and for 6 days, you know, I might say it's the worst, best 6 days of my life, you know. It helped me get through that knot in my stomach, you know, those nightmares, those cold sweats, and, I didn't realize at the end of the effects of so loose. I didn't realize how much of a grip this alcohol had on me. You know, I felt like I was going to die, man, you know, like not being able to drink, you know what I mean? But I knew I had to stick it out. I knew I had to change, man, because if I continued, I knew either if it wasn't my physical being, that I was just going to be something inside me. Emotionally, mentally, something inside me is going to cease to exist. So I told myself, I gotta stay here. I have to stay here. You know, so I stayed. And, you know, I got into the treatment program over at Pine, and I was there probably maybe like almost 2 weeks. And my companion was too pregnant again, you know, at this time she's pregnant with my son. So I had to leave. You know, I had to leave because there was complications with her birth, you know. So I wanted to go be there because we don't have a babysitter, you know, we don't let them be into our home, especially with all this, you know, COVID or whatever going on, you know, so I went home. Well, I went home and I hit the ground running, man. I first moved out, I got me sponsors, I got me a big book, I started working sets, you know, because I started reading a big book about all Alzheimer's in my city of Utah. And Bill's story in the beginning, you know, he says, you know, like, you take this to die, you know, I so resonated with that because I felt that. Before I even picked that book up, before I even read what that said, I knew that feeling, you know? So that's what that, I told myself, no matter what, I gotta do this, you know? I gotta do this. And as much as I wanna say, like, I was doing it for my kids, you know, like, I've tried it for myself so many times. I tried to quit for myself so many times. I tried to quit for my dad so many times, you know, like, it never worked. You know, anything I try to do never worked for my, what I was doing for myself, you know, or for even trying to do it for somebody else. And, so I just kept my nose in the book, kept reading, and, I got turned on to the spiritual experience back in the back of the book, you know, and, I knew what spirituality was, you know, I grew up in it, you know, I grew up in our culture, doing up prayer dance and sweat lodge, and, you know, singing our traditional songs, and, you know, so I knew what it was, and I knew I missed it, you know. So I kept praying, you know, every single day. You know, every morning when I get up, you know, I go outside, and most days, before the sun comes up, I'm out there. You know, when I greet that sun, when it comes over the mountain, as it passes through my culture, I ask him for guidance. I ask him for guidance to get out of my own way, to get out of my own head, you know, because left to my own, you know, willpower and my own thought process, I'm definitely going to go out. And when I'm out, you know, like, when I'm way out. You know, like, I'm gone for days at a time. You know, like, I come and go as I please. You know, and I don't see that the simple fact that I'm hurting everybody else. I'm hurting. I'm not only just destroying my own self, but everybody that I said I love, that I said I care about, that you know, like, oh, I'll do anything for you. That's some bullshit, man, because I don't give a shit. You know, when it comes down to it, when I'm out there and I'm over here doing this, doing that, and not coming home petty, like buying everybody beer. You know, buying beer for the whole party, but yet I can't call home and ask if they got milk, ask if they got food, ask if they got eggs, you know, like I never did that. I never did that. You know, like, and it's pretty sad, you know, it really hurts, man, to see that, like, how selfish, self-centered people just split us, you know? So it's like, you know, thinking you're a real good person, you know, I thought I was a real good person, man, until I started journaling. You know, I started journaling, I'm like, dude, you were such an asshole, you know, especially to the ones you love. Especially to the ones you love. You know, like, they've always wanted the best for me. You know, and my companion told me before, she's like, she didn't like the way I drank. She said, because there comes a moment while you're having fun, you're smiling around, it's like the switch turns. And you're not the same one. You know, there's like a gloss that goes over your eyes, and I don't know who you are. You know, like, and she's not the first person to tell me that. I've been married, you know, I was married before I got with this big man, and, you know, for like 5 years, and, you know, even with that, I thought that was going to fix the way I think, you know, but I was drunk and shit when I got married. You know, I don't remember half the ceremony. You know, that's how bad it was, and, it's horrible, you know, and so that bottom right there that I talked about, though, about, you know, like, 8 miles over, that's what led me to lose the alcoholics and honest, and that's when I knew I needed to change, and journaling is one of the best things that I have in my arsenal today. You know, journal, I have no stones unturned in my past that I haven't shared with people at all, man. I have to let it all, if I don't, it's going to kill me. You know, if I hold on to some bad thought or bad memory, sooner or later, I'm going to let it get to me. Then when it gets to me, then I'm thinking about me, poor me. Then that pity party comes, what the hell, what's going on? And then I end up with another whiskey bottle in my hand and a pistol in the other hand. You know, and I know that, that's my truth, and I ain't ashamed to say it. You know, that's where it takes me. You know, to complete insanity. You know, and I could sit there and I could try to justify, oh, but I was, somebody tried to rape me as a child, you know, which happened when I was around 8 years old, you know, and I fought, you know, as hard as I could, being 8 years old, against a 15-year-old person, and I got away. You know, but not before I felt the everything that tied into that, you know, but I got away. You know, and, I'm not afraid to say that to me. You know, because, you know, I get to identify that. Now I know why I couldn't be around a bunch of men all the time. You know, like somebody would say, hey, what's going on? Hey, don't touch me. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking, like, I was like, yeah, what's wrong with him? You know, like, I never disclose that information to anybody. You know, I'm a man. I don't discuss stuff like that. You know, I don't say nothing that's good. Now I'm playing how tough I am. You know what I mean? And that's bullshit today. You know, because I feel stronger than ever to be able to open up and talk about it. You know, I feel more empowered to say, you know what, this happened, but today, this is where it led me. I'm sober today. You know, for over 7 months today I'm sober, you know, and man, I've never felt so much peace and comfort in my life. You know, like today I do it for myself first, knowing that once I do it for myself, everything else is going to fall into place. They told me, trust the process. Trust the process. You know, believe. I have to believe in this program, man. I have to give it 110% because, like I said, if I'm not in, I'm out. And when I'm out, I'm way out. And I don't want to ask it. You know, if I do, I can do it at peace because I'm okay. I got back in touch with my creator. You know, if I have to go, then I can't control it. You know, that's like two places of things. We can't control things, you know, in our life. You know, and, that's one of them. You know, I'm at peace today. You know, I get to be a dad. You know, something I've never been. I have a 7-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy, 3-year-old girl, 2-year-old boy, and a 6-month-old boy. You know, and I have a 12-year-old daughter in Nebraska that I keep in contact. You know, but those 5 kids I have in my home, but I take them every day. You know, I'm a dad today, man. I get to provide. You know, I get to show up every morning, you know, like, and be a part of their life. You know, and protect those kids. You know, in any way possible. You know, I get to drive them to school. You know, breakfast before they go to school, send them off to school, man, it's such a blessing. You know, and all that comes from this program. You know, the promises. The promises do come true. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to paint the picture that this program is just a cakewalk, man. It's hard. It's hard. I gotta stay on my toes constantly, man, because alcohol is always gonna be moving around. You know, that self inside is always gonna be trying to break free and run the show once more. You know, so I have to be spiritually fit. I literally have to be spiritually fit, and by that, I have to, you know, work the 12 steps. I have to make them. It says that I have to practice these principles in all of my affairs, in everything through life. You know, there's some days I don't do it perfectly. There's some days I don't do most of it, you know, but what I can do, I do. You know, today I don't make excuses. I don't make excuses to pick up the bottle. I don't make excuses for not being on time, you know, like, I get to accept responsibility. I get to be in action in my life today instead of running away. I don't run away today. You know, I used to say, oh, I don't run from nothing. I don't run from nobody. You know, like, or my ego was so big, I used to tell people that nobody could be me but me. If I'm over B, it's because I allowed myself to be B. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been beat. Alcohol beat the shit out of me. Drugs beat the shit out of me, man. You know, and it's such a blessing to be here today for me, guys. You know, it's such a blessing to be here and be able to share my experience, strength, and hope. And hopes that by me telling my truth, it could save somebody in this room from their truth becoming what I went through, my truth. You know, and if I could do that, if I could just touch one person, or maybe one sentence that I said tonight may seem thing to somebody in this room or on Zoom, then that's such a blessing, man. Because that's what got me here. That's what kept me here, is hearing people like these gentlemen sitting here. You know, like, I know it's crossed up, but you've been helping out. That's been helping me out, man, just by showing up, by having those meetings on Zoom. I got sober on Zoom, pretty much. You know, but the majority of my program came from Zoom. You know, well, not my program, it's the program, right? I'm all synonymous. And thank you, brother, for pointing that out, because it's true, man, because, you know, the Lawrence program had him all messed up. You know, Lawrence program had him shoot himself. You know what I mean? Like, that's the truth of the matter. That's facts right there. And today I can see facts. You know, I can see the facts. I can see the truth from the lies today. Before, I couldn't tell the difference. You know, I used to make my own truth, which was probably a bunch of bullshit, to be honest. You know, like, I don't get the luxury to do that today. I used to stand up, show up, and accept responsibility. Even from journaling, you know, when I got on my fourth step, and I found that a lot of these resentments I had were, I was resenting people, other people's actions that I caused. You know, how they treated me was a direct action of what I did. Something that I did, you know. And most of the time it wasn't good. You know, maybe I was an asshole. You know, maybe they caught me when I was coming down off the substance. You know, and I was just, you know, I wasn't a good person. You know what I mean? And maybe I was a little bit moody when I wasn't supposed to be white, because I couldn't have my little bottle of whiskey. You know, like, so now, like, I see, you know, that all these fingers I was pointing, I get to point back at myself, you know, and not to be hard on myself, but to accept responsibility, you know, like, hey, that's a direct result of you, you know, not nobody else. You know what I mean? So today, that's what gets to happen, man. I get to be right here in front of you guys of service. You know, we don't, nobody in AA gets paid to sit here and tell their story. You know, like, this is not something that we come to get paid for. You know, the pay is hopefully that somebody will take some out of this and use it in their own life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that. I don't know everything, and I don't pretend to know everything, but what I know is I'm the full portion of this book, man, but it's keeping me sober every single day. But I have to get on my knees every single morning and ask my creator to get me out of my own way. You know, because like I said, man, it's just waiting, you know? So I like to say, I wish I brought my book. I had it with me, but I set it down before I walked out the door. But, man, I say it all the time, man, I get to participate in an open book test for the rest of my life. You know, anytime I'm feeling some way, something's not going right, I open up the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and 9 times out of 10, it lands on something that I needed to hear. It landed on something that helps me figure out why I'm so pissed off, or why I feel so bad, or why maybe this didn't work out for me right now. You know, it's truth. As long as I put my best foot forward and dive into this thing 110%, I might be. And you know, one of my worst days sober is nowhere near closer to one of my worst days drunk and using. You know, so I'm blessed, man. You know, like regardless of my sense of hiking, there's times where I feel like, you know, like I get irritated, restless, discontent, you know, the first thing I do, I throw a prayer up. You know, I pray. I ask my Creator to help me out, to relieve this feeling that I have. You know, like, because I don't want it. And I don't know what it is, but he answers me. You know, he definitely answers. I feel it. I feel it leave right away. I feel it, you know. And I couldn't ask for anything more, man, but to keep on this path, you know. It's such a blessing. I can't say it enough. I got a band of brothers, not just right here, but even on Zoom, man. I got some brothers up there that I trek with on a daily, man. Anytime I need anything, all I do is pick up that phone. You know, I ask them for help. I ask them for guidance. You know, like they feed me knowledge. You know, today my cup is empty in a way that I can retain new knowledge. I don't think I know everything. You know, before you couldn't tell me nothing, you couldn't teach me nothing. I knew it all. I've been there. I've done that. You know, and today, that's not me. Today, I get to accept guidance. I get to accept truth. I get to accept answers, you know, and opinions. You know, I get to accept other people's opinions. You know, I'm not the only one that should have an opinion. You know, and I get to see that now. You know, like, I used to think I had answers for everything, and now that I've been in this program, man, I see I didn't have answers for shit. You know what I mean? Especially in my own life, especially for my own circle, you know, and it's just such a blessing, man. I can't say it enough, you know. I'm telling you, if guys, anybody's having problems with this program, man, just do what's suggested. Do what's suggested, man. Get a sponsor. Get somebody with the knowledge of the Big Book that can walk you through it, you know. And then one day you're gonna be where I'm at. One day you can be right here, but you gotta want it though. Like I said, this program has been placed in front of me in 2005. It's 2021 and I finally picked it up. You know, I wish I said, oh yeah, I wish I could go back and you know, I picked it up then, but maybe I needed to experience what I experienced. I don't know. All I know is that I'm here today and I'm happy, I'm joyous and free, and it's not just because the book tells me I'm gonna be, it's because I feel it right here. I feel it inside me, man. I'm no longer a hopeless case. I'm no longer helpless. You know, I feel like I have recovered from a hopeless and helpless state of mind today. And the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that I will recover from a hopeless and helpless state of mind. I'm always going to be an alcoholic. Always. Because once I know, once that the alcohol pickles my taste buds, I'm off and running again. I know where it's going to take me. You know, they say insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Mine is doing the same thing over and over, knowing damn well what the end result is going to be. I just can't stop it. You know, so once that comes, I'm not in control. I don't got this. By any means, I don't got this. That used to be my favorite line. I got this. No matter what I went through, no matter how depressed I was, no matter how fucked up I was, I got this. You know, oh, I got it. Don't worry about me. I got me. You know, like, damn, now that when I hear myself say that, I'm like, wow, what is wrong with you? You know, like, what was wrong with you? It's as simple as this right here, the fellowship. You know, I tell you guys, man, there's more stuff I share with you guys in these meetings than I do my own nerves. You know, and I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just the fellowship, maybe it's the language of the heart. Who knows, man, but you know what? I'm accepting it. You know, I'm accepting it because this changed my life today. You know, I'm happy. Again, I can't say that enough. Man, I got a companion that's happy to see me every single day with a smile on her face because she knows I'm sober. There's still that part of her that feels like she don't know if something's going to set me off and I'm going to go drink. And at first I was like, why can't you believe in me? You know, like, why can't you believe in me? Like, I'm doing everything I need to do, you know? Like, and then I had to take a step back. Man, I put her through so much. I put her through so much BS, man. How do I expect her to change her way of thinking when she's not in the program? You know, I have a program right in front of me that I can follow. You know, I got a new way of living that comes in the form of a big book called Synonymous. You know that's helping me. You know, and it's such a blessing that she finally sees the change in me to where now she's going to get help. You know, she don't drink, but she's going to talk to a counselor. You know, about most of the shit I've been through, to be honest. And, you know, so I can't force that upon her. You know, I can't force the program upon her. You know, I can't force like Al-Anon as much as I'd like her to be involved in Al-Anon. At these little meetings. You know, that's not my. I can't do that. You know, she'll be ready when she's ready. And I think it's gonna be a life. What is one of those life amendments that I have to make to her? Just like to my dad, man. My dad, I shot myself in front of my dad on his porch. You know, and continue drinking after that, man. You know, the only thing that's gonna change his perception of what I'm doing is what I'm doing today: staying sober and doing the work. You know, as long as I show up sober every single day, I know damn well my dad will be happy when he hits his grave. You know, whatever that time comes, I'll have to trip up. You know, that's the power of this program. That's the power of this program. I might not bring a smile to my face. I'm not scared. I don't hold no reserves, man, on my alcoholism. You know, because I'm on my program, because I can't. You know, my alcoholic brain's going to find that reason to go out and get fucked up. You know, and I'm better than that. I deserve more than that. Just like each and every one of you that's here tonight, you guys deserve to be sober today. You know, when that's going to happen, only you know. You know, but I'm here to tell you that you got to take action. You can't lay there and sit around and wait, you know, for somebody to get you sober. You got to get sober yourself. You got to walk yourself. You know, the program is here for us. All we've got to do is accept it. You know, all we've got to do is ask for that guidance. You know, like, I don't know about the spiritual aspect, you know, the religious aspect, you know, like, I can't force that upon nobody, but I know myself, I know somebody out there. I know I have a creator that's watching over me today. You know, I know there's a spiritual entity that's way stronger than myself that led me to these rooms to help me get sober today. Just for today, you know, that's all I got to do is just stay sober for today. I can't worry about yesterday, I can't worry about tomorrow, because you know what, I'm right here right now. That's the only thing I can control, you know, and I'm going to continue to do that, man. I'm going to continue to do that.
I don't know when you're done.
I'm here with this, man. I'll probably open up this discussion right now. But yeah, like I said, man, get it. It's yours. It's there. It's there for you. All you got to do is do that work, man. And of course, it's going to be hard. You know, how do you think everybody else? Well, that's the way I say it. How did everybody else go through when I put them through all that? You know, now it's my time to fill a lot of that and to fix what I can. I can't fix everything, but there's a lot that I can fix. And there's a lot, the only way I'm going to be able to prove to some of these people, like I said, is just to continue doing what I'm doing. You know, like I can't sit there and say I'm going to stay sober for this person, that person anymore. I have to stay sober for myself, and everything else will fall into place. You know, so with that, I'm going to end right there. I love you guys, and I'm going to continue to work for the rest of this 24. Thank you very much.
Warren, and we're now going to be starting the discussion part of our meeting. We'd like to hear from as many people as possible, so lastly, just keep in mind, we've got a little over 20 people here with us combined, with that said, I'm going to turn the meeting back over to Warren, and I'll give you a list of people online that you can choose to, but if you want to start maybe here.
All right, we'll start on the 7.
I'm Christine, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Christine.
Thank you for your share. It makes me think about just how crazy my life was when I drank. It's been a little over 2.5 years I've been sober, so I kind of forget sometimes like what it was like, and I kind of forget all the people I hurt and all the disruption, and it was awful. And I just have to remember that sometimes, because you get comfortable and I start going out and kind of having the same alcoholic thinking at times, you know, minus the drinking. and I come to meetings, and I work with other people, and I work with my sponsor, I just remember that I'm different, and that's okay. And I think when you're sharing about how you feel like you can share and see things here that you wouldn't even say, you know, necessarily to your therapist, I was talking to Jeff about that, like how just sharing, I never know what I'll share, but something about the sharing, like, does this, like, cleansing for me, mm-hmm. and I leave, and I feel like it's like kind of a fresh start, or, you know, it's a great way to start the week. And when I first got sober, this was a meeting that I was trying to go to, and at that time I lived out of town, and I would drive over here, if I didn't have my daughter, and, you know, it made for a late night, but it was like, that's what I had to do to kind of set my week, you know, like, as I go out into the world, and try to take with me what I've learned. I'm just at a point now where I just try to slow down a little bit when things get rough. And when I get uncomfortable, I try to go to my tools. And I know some of the things that I do, so I try to work on, you know, not staying in that, like, I really like to isolate, and for the most part, I feel alright with that. But it can happen real quick where I'm just in my own head. And then that's that, when it's just me, because when it's me in charge of myself, that's no good. So, kind of, I've been struggling with kind of the control thing, recently, because some stuff's happening that I don't want to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. So it just kind of reminds me, and my sponsor shared out this last week, you know, and she kind of reminded me, like, God either is, or he isn't, you know, and so I've been trying to kind of do that way and let go. So when I let go, and, you know, I just have my time in the morning, and I check in with God, and, you know, I do my best, and when I make mistakes, if I go back to the tools, and kind of work on that, that's what works best for me. Thank you again for your sharing. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Good. We're going to go to Stephen online next. Stephen, would you like to unmute yourself and share with us?
Sure, thank you. My name's Stephen, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you guys for having this meeting here. Hello, Visalia. Good to be there. Hello, my brothers and sisters on Zoom. Yeah, I've had the privilege of seeing Oren when he came in here, and I tell you, it's not the same guy. You know, I saw the desire in his eyes, but that happiness that I see today, that content, that serenity, I've had the privilege of seeing him get that, you know, and the message that he gave that I took in was taking action. And I got to say, you know, from what I've seen from Oren, that's what he does. He has been taking action. And I'm fairly new to this program. I too got sober on Zoom. I probably have approximately twice as much sobriety as he does. However, his spirituality is something that I always look at. It's something that I know I need to achieve still as myself, you know. I've seen him embrace it. He embraces it, and he takes action. You know, it's not a matter of just showing up to meetings. It's a matter of doing what's asked and what is suggested. And I feel very blessed to have him as part of my support group, and the people on this meeting here is part of my support group, because I know I can't do this on my own. You know, I don't know the people here in that room there, but I know that you're helping me stay sober today, because before I tried it out by myself, and I wasn't a success. So thank you all for being a part of my sobriety tonight, and thank you for calling on me.
Hey, Steven. I think we'll go back to you, Jess.
I'm not a very good speaker, so I'll take it back, but I just want to say thank you for your story.
Or no, I want to say thank you. I have to say something. I really appreciate it. I know, guys, I'm big. I'm kind of new. I'll be back next Sunday, I'm sure.
All right.
I'll like next to you.
Good.
Thank you, guys. See you guys.
You want to pick it up? Master Circle.
It's on your mind next.
Master Circle, another alcoholic.
Well, thank you for your share, man.
you know, I was listening to the opening readings and it says, rarely have I seen a person that's really, you know, that's clearly followed our path. And I think that's shining through the people that I see. You know, you're almost, you're at almost every meeting on that online. You know, you really share a good message. And I appreciate that. You see the passion, and you share a message, and you give other people there. Your hope translates into just a hope for myself. You know, a couple of things that I could really identify with in your story were the geographic, right? The joke I told one of my sponsors this morning was, I tried to be geographic when I was younger, but the worst part about that, but I took myself in. Right? So no matter what happens, no matter where I go, I got the baggage with me, and it just doesn't change. Things didn't change until something changed, which was coming into my false moments. I didn't want to go. I was first year. But I stayed. I stayed because after a while, I realized there was a whole lot of bodies. And she talked about, you know, drowning, you know, your fears or your shame, and all of this. I could just identify with that. And some mornings waking up, I'm like, fuck, what did I do? And I don't remember what I did, but I just had that pit in my stomach that something was wrong. I didn't want to look anybody in the eyes. I can look everybody in the eyes. I don't have to hide. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. And search your progress, and search your perfection. I'm so thankful for that same. And then another thing I want to touch on that you talked about was your spiritual fitness. So I get daily repeat dependent upon my spiritual condition. And that's part of the maintenance steps. It's also the point of maintenance steps, but you know, every day, almost every day, I start my day off with morning meditation and trying to create that conscious contact with God and improvement. And I'm thankful for that improvement portion because sometimes it goes, good enough is good enough. No, it's never going to be perfect. But as long as I keep working at it, and I put in the time and the effort, I'll get something out of it. You know, I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to share, but I just want to thank you again. You know, it's really good to share, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Les. We're going to go to Jose online next. Jose, would you like to unmute yourself and share?
Yeah, Jose, grateful recovered alcoholic addict. You know, I thank my brother, Oren, for his wonderful share. And just on what he brought in, you know, we will always be a student in this program. You know, my recovery is dependent on me remaining teachable because I'm already scratching the surface, you know. There's action and more action. So like I checked in, Jose, grateful recovered alcoholic addict, you know. But don't get it twisted. You know, I'm still an alcoholic, still an addict, still have no effective mental defense against the first drink, still have no mental defense against the first life, first smoke, first pill, still have to divorce this program just for today, still have to turn my will and my life over to the care of my creator, which I choose to call God, still have to do my daily surrender because the answer will come only if my own house is in order, you know? And the only time that matters is right here, right now, like my brother Orange said, you know, because I can't rest on my laurels, you know? We all know what happened to Bill Doe when he screwed out. I had arrived, you know, celebrating past the cheese and had him drunk just like that, you know, because we alcoholic addicts are undisciplined. You know, we need to concede to our own more self that we are the real deal, you know. The delusions, the obsession, the insanity, the illusion that we are like other people present maybe needs to be smashed, bruised, and brashed as soon as we walk into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, because I see newcomers coming to the rooms talking about, I'm working on my first step. I didn't work the first step when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I worked it out there. Lack of power was my dilemma. My life, I became a marriage and I was powerless over alcohol and drugs, you know, because I couldn't see the truth from the false. You know what I mean? The effect is so elusive that I can't see what's really happening to my life, like my brother Orman just filled, you know? And I need a power greater than myself that could get me into these rooms, you know, because left on my own self, I would have never walked into the rooms. That's step two. You know, I turned my will, my life to my creator. You know, I see newcomers come in talking about, I'm stuck on step four. The first step that requires you to work, actually take steps toward action. The first step that actually requires you to get closer to that power greater than yourself. You know, you can't have excuses when it comes to this program, right? Because there is no middle of the road solution. Either you're doing it or you're not. Either you're recovering or you're relapsing. Either you're going or you're dying. You know, and there's a price to be paid when you walk into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that price is the destruction of self. You know, people get uncomfortable with the word God. Well, guess what? You gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable. You gotta get comfortable being sober, and you gotta get comfortable being yourself. You know? I thank God I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I thank God that I buried my pride before my pride buried me. You know, and I thank God that God put Alcoholics Anonymous in my path, you know, and I'm exactly where I need to be. You know, I got a sponsor that has a sponsor, you know, and my sponsor has what he wants. I don't want what he wants, you know, because I'm being selfish and self-centered, and I'm trying to take something that belongs to somebody else, you know what I mean? I want to have what I have today, you know, and I wouldn't trade my journey for anybody else, you know, because I don't want to be deprived of my journey. And with that, I'll receive another 24. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jose. Is it Mike?
How are you?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, Mike, we can barely hear you, especially with people online. Is it possible you could maybe just speak remote? You can come sit right here.
Is there a lap available?
Hey, the good thing is they want to hear what you have to say.
They don't know me. Mike, alcoholic. So, you know, the whole spiritual realm is into a different side of it. Came to this program back in 2014, but I didn't fully see the program. I came in here from a different program from Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I try to do is I try to take stuff from our Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff from AA and make it work for me. And make it work for me. And so I did it, you know. And oh man, this whole new set, man, is starting over my sobriety at 9/5/2021, and into a different aspect of time. There, my sponsor said something about that kind of thing. And did it relapse? It wasn't a relapse, though, because technically I never conceded to the program, you know, so, and you know, so I thought about it, you know, you'd be right, you know, and one thing I thought was, look, but I didn't finish race, so that I never saw the race. I didn't fully give myself to this program. And I made a point that worked best for myself. If you can drink like a gentleman, I thought to you, okay, I'll run that. I'll drink like a gentleman, didn't I? You gotta respect it, you know? That wasn't the case, you know, because people with experience would know that the stage only lasts so long. And unfortunately, that's what it was for me. And I drank like a gentleman, so I couldn't anymore. And then, all the answer, man. So I had to do it. Talked about all the things you're doing, you know, do what you gotta do. One thing that I was seeing too, when my friends were like, oh, you know, we're basically all for 7 years that have been bullshit with continent. In a way, too, but then I look at it differently, I got something 7 years of practice. 7 years of practice, come back and do it right now. And, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, man. I know that you can speak and catch on some two meetings, and I still see Christian members.
Thank you, Mike. We're going to go to Jen online now. Jen, would you like to unmute yourself and share?
Yeah. Hi, good evening, everybody. Jen Alcoholic. Thank you, everybody, for making this meeting happen. Thank you, Oren, for that share. And, what can I say? For me, the solution is in the book, just like Oren said, and whether I'm spiritually fit or not. And that today came, I had like an epiphany today. It was like, the meetings are great and anything, the fellowship is awesome, but at the end of the day, when I'm all alone, there I am, and it's the connection that I have with my higher power that grounds me, and that today I can say, like, I'm still sober, and for that I'm truly grateful, and I wouldn't have been able to have this connection if I wasn't into action, if I wasn't staying humble and staying honest with myself and with what I'm doing throughout the day and whatnot. So, yeah, pretty much just staying true, open-minded, and winning all the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Sir, would you like to share?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Rocky.
Hey, Rocky.
I'd like to apologize for coming a little late. It's my first meeting.
Wow, glad you're here.
This is my girlfriend. She's the one that pushed me to do this to be better. So, I did walk in a little late to your story, but the things you're saying about pushing forward and doing the things we need to do is something I have to do because I've been very super consistent. So,
David, you want to pick it up and we'll get to that my next?
I paid an alcoholic. Thank you for your share, Warren. Your enthusiasm reminded me of when I first showed up here, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And I'm glad that during that time when I was enthusiastic, I heard the four things, right? Press God, clean house, which is do the steps, go to meetings, help others. Sorry. Those are the fundamental, and I got a sponsor, reading the big book, working the steps, and my life got better. So, it's just been a wonderful thing for me. The other thing that you said several times that I know for my own self that makes me happy is I get to do things today. Right? I was on a path where I was going to get to light and grace. Today I get to do things. And I am so thankful that I got these ones. And it's great to hear your message. Your message of, relying on that higher power. My practice is every morning I say a bunch of prayers because I need that power. And I'm just so thankful for being here and for listening to me being that
problem. Hey, we'll go to Matt online next. Matt, would you like to unmute and share with us?
Hey, what's up, family? My name is Matthew. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic addict. I'm just really grateful to be here. I want Oren, for being a part of my life, being part of my recovery. And I just want to tell you, I'm proud of you, man. It takes a lot to come in here and actually work this thing. You know, this ain't easy. They say it's simple, but it ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would be taking a lot of milestones, chips. We'd be having people with a lot of time in here. Everybody would have like 20 years if it was easy, but it ain't. And, I want to thank everybody who makes this meeting happen. I've never been to Vasilia, but I'm here now. And, thank God for Zoom that I could zoom in on my, my cruiser and be in the meeting and participate. Man, there's so many things I could say, but Oren touched on a lot of it. The big books is where the solution's at. So the big book stays open in my house. And when I'm working with another alcoholic, you best believe that big book stays open because I don't have the solution. I got to read that big book to get that solution. When I came in here before I showed up, man, I was reckless. I didn't care about life. Nothing mattered. At every turn, no matter how much times I landed on face first on the dirt, I got back up and I always found a way until I couldn't find a way out. Until I was baffled. Situations baffled me. And that never used to happen. Whether we're using, drinking, I drink like a drug addict and I consume drugs like an alcoholic. You know, that's what I do. And, you know, to be here speaking about recovery, man, this is what it's all about for me today. For the newcomers, welcome to the greatest show on earth, where we recover and we help others. This is what it's all about. 110%, I heard Lauren say it. That's exactly how much percentage I have to put in this program. And you know what? My recovery is solely dependent on whether or not Matthew's going to surrender to his creator. You know, am I going to surrender to God today? Because if I don't surrender to God today, I'm not going to be able to carry this message. You know, I'm going to be battling. But you know what? My reliance on God today is at an all-time high. You know, and I love it. You know, I have to give it up. You know, and it's to carry the message to those that are still sick and suffering, the newcomers, man. You guys are the most important people in the room. I heard somebody sharing in the back, but you're new, man. This is it, man. You know, get to work. Get a sponsor. You know, get that big book. You know, don't leave that room. If they got big books there, don't leave that room without a book. You know, because this is where it starts, man. You know, this is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, and, you know, it's a blessing to be here. I love you guys, and, you know, let's just keep trudging, man. I'm fired up. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, thanks, Matt. And Dave, I think, intentionally abandoned us. About to come back to him, but Marty, you got
it? I ain't got much to say, but Ronnie Alcoholic.
Hey, Ronnie.
I got 115 days. So,
all right.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I heard her say that you get hit ground running, you got a sponsor, you get a big book and everything. Yeah. I got 150 days sober, and Friday I just barely got a sponsor. And it seems like right when that happened, everything started getting better. Like all the weight fell off my chest. Like I felt like I was, like, what's called dry drunk, or quite not drunk the whole time, but I've been in the program the whole time. And you know, yeah, I'm sober, yeah, I'm not drinking and stuff, but, you know, I'm not doing the principles, like, I'm not, you know, supporting my sponsor, I'm not working the steps, you know, I'm listening to the message, but I'm not doing my part and everything. And ever since Friday, it's like, it's hidden. It's like, that moment I got way better, and, you know, I appreciate you sharing, and that's all I got.
All right, thanks, Ronnie. Dave, back to you, baby.
Hey, alcoholic.
Dave.
Corn, thank you for sharing. For me, where I'm at my recovery right now, I'm a sobriety. I've been coming out of this room since 2016. I did five times in mine. To 60 days. Not again. Originally last week, you know, I gotta stop setting myself up for cutter pretty much staying with things. You know, the way that I work things and just how I perceive things, you know. I'm always saying again, again, again. And he explained to me, you know, after people say that, it's kind of like setting myself up just to do it again. You know, I can get off the horse, you know, off the wagon. I'm kind of just, I'm doing it to myself. I always get sponsored, work the steps, get a certain amount of pain time, and I'm missing something. With the triangle, you know, it's unity, recovery, and service. I never got into service. You know, I volunteer at Lyme, I'm going to school to be alcoholic, drug counselor, but I never got into service. I thought being part of that house and volunteering and being overnight, being CPR certified, and the program made all these things. I'm being a service there in that recovery home. It's not being a service. That's the service that the book talks about. You know, service commitments. And that's what my sponsor was telling me. That's what some guys from Ms. Stagg last week were talking. So this week I picked up two service commitments. I'm making coffee now. And we're showing up to the meetings early and stuff. And it's just doing it Wednesday night at Ice House meeting. I don't call that a warrant. You know, it was a great feeling. I felt like it was like my birthday. It was a gift. And it is truly a gift. You know, it's being a service. It's being involved into a meeting and just to be a part of. You know, and I hope that's what I'm missing. You know, like I said, I've been in high hoops for 5-6 years. And I'm trying to get it right. You know, just one day at a time. And so that's all I got.
All right, Dave. quite some of the delicious coffee tonight. We have Dave, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, let's go online to our friend Teddy. Teddy, would you like to unmute yourself and share with us tonight?
Teddy, alcoholic.
Hey.
Hey, first and foremost, just want to thank God for another day. Want to thank Warren, my brother, from another for his share and his lead. I know he reached out to a couple of us Trudging brothers and informed us he would be sharing his leading tonight. And, you know, I speak for myself, but I don't speak for myself. And, you know, it's a nation, you know, it's a village here. It's not just there's no I in this team of sobriety. So we can recover. So you're welcoming the newcomers, anybody taking a chip. I don't really have too much to share. Just me and Oren were from two different areas, but it seems like we're real close. Our sobriety dates are like 10, 11 days apart, so we're like, I know we got that in common, but his level that he carries himself at is so mature as far as in his recovery that I see all the time. So I just want to again give him a shout out for that, commend you. I support you. I see your spiritual, not growth that you've always had it since the first time, but you're really working a program. I just recently with my sponsor, I have a sponsor working out at a big book. I just recently finished a doctor's opinion. I got 8 months yesterday, consecutive sobriety, days and nights. And I got to, today I was celebrating my brother's birthday, who was yesterday, and my birthday is tomorrow. So we're like a decade apart, and we always like kind of do our, so we were out jumping today at a little sky zone, and then we went to lunch, and they went to the yard house. And, you know, I took a good couple plugs and some jokes. Yeah, you know, I take a vodka and cranberry, hold the vodka. Because I remember what, you know, alcohol used to do to me. I'm Taz, because I was the tornado, the alcoholic tornado that was just ripping through the lives of everybody around me. And now that I went through the doctor's opinion, I got that report, you know, that I am all those different type of classifications. And I, you know, and once that, you know, that I take that first hit, that, you know, the phenomenon craving kicks in. So, but there's a solution, you know, that, you know, once with the help of my spiritual experience, you know, God, as I call him, you know, it's possible. I see it in these rooms, see it with all my Trudging brothers. And, you know, this program to me is always about hope. I just, you know, I like the newcomers because I'm shortly removed, but it just reminds me that this is a marathon for me. It's not a sprint. And don't take my stinking thinking too much. Just keep on going and book. Admitting I was powerless over drugs and alcohol. I'm not just alcoholic. I'm also an addict. And my life was totally unmanageable before I even came to these rooms, before I even came to California, and I'm finally getting that. Yeah, that's all I got to share, buddy. Thank you for asking me to share. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Teddy. So, our format calls for us to end the meeting now and do a business meeting, but we've got a great rhythm going, and we've got just a couple more people left. So, let me just do this. For business, we agreed with the owner here to pay half of our seventh tradition in rent. So for this month, for September, we took in $59, and I'd like to just get approval to pay $30 to our landlord here. Everybody cool with that?
Approved.
Okay. Any other business anybody needs to bring up for the group now? Okay. Then let's finish the business meeting and back. How about to Matt?
Hi everybody, my name's Matt and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for putting this on and thank you for facilitating this for us. Warren, thank you for your share. And again, thank you for the respect for sharing. I appreciate that expression. I've taken in a whole bunch of meetings in my sober life, a bunch of different times in different areas. I like to go out of town and take in a Morro Bay meeting.
Avila Beach meeting on Thursday evenings. That's an 11-step meeting about that far from the beach. That is a bliss. If you walk out of there, you didn't attend. Go float out of there. At any rate, I've attended a whole lot of meetings, and with this new Zoom thing, with the apocalyptic virus that came around, I've got to experience that. And at times in my recovery, at times in my sober life, I get to see, in the language of the fellowship, I get to see the faces that I don't hear, the voices that I don't have to hear. So at times, there was a meeting, what's going on? So I look at Zoom as, okay, correct again. If it's there for me, I accept this, we've been taking it. We go, I don't have a problem. Not long back, I attended a Zoom meeting, took part in it. It was a Saturday morning, a few weeks back, and there was a question. The topic was, how do you feel about the way people feel about you? What do you think about how people feel? It's our wisdom shared that day was that how you feel about me really is none of my business. Because if I'm concerned about how you feel about me, I'm not taking care of business. I'm not doing the next indicated thing to worry about something that's really kind of irrelevant. But upon further reflection, and that it's kind of stuck under my saddle a little bit, and so I did a little bit of study. I worked for a little bit of independent study on how people think about me and Google. Boom, and here's some of the things I've done. The way you feel about me is important, beautiful, but it's not important in a traditional way. For instance, in your life, you're going to be a whole lot of life, and you're going to be a whole lot of other people. And they're going to say things, they're going to do things and that you won't remember. For instance, down the road, you won't remember what I said. You won't remember what I do. I'm a musician and I'm a house kid, so I'm kind of interested in what happened. And years down the road, you won't remember who that guy with the gray hair. What did he do for me? It won't feel be irrelevant. So you won't remember what I said and what I do. Here's what you'll remember. You'll remember how I made you. So I remember this life from that week. I remember how you guys said fellowship in general. It makes me feel, I feel good after a meeting. I've never gone to a meeting that I regretted going. I've come close, but I've never, you know what I mean? But I've always found something about about the meetings, even the Zoom meetings. This was incredible. I found this, it spurred this thought process for me. And so you are important to me. And in that light, I want to be important to you. And how do I do that? By helping you feel like you're worthy of a better life. You're worthy of recovery. You deserve it. And working hard for it. It will end. The promises become true. And all those of us. The nice set promises. It's weird. When you're in a program, you're really, really listening. And sometimes I'm as thick as a door. But the nice set promises appeared to me the other night as a spiritual awakening. When you go to bed tonight, read those nice set promises. And just look at it through that lens. This is describing spiritual awakening. And I said that to a friend, and he said, yes. And I felt about this big, but my friend is the spell of the language of the program and the literature keeps revealing itself to me. So the longer you're here, the better it gets. So I'm going to go up there. Thank you for letting me share. My name is Matt, and I'm an alcoholic.
Thank you, Matt. We still have Raquel online. Raquel, would you like to unmute and share with us?
Boy. Good evening, everybody. My name is Raquel, and I'm an alcoholic. Warren, thank you so much for your share. Definitely, you know, we could relate and get something out of it. I was lucky enough that I was able to come into this meeting while running an errand that took me a little too long than I anticipated. And I think it's, you know, our higher power that does things for us that we can't do for ourselves that I didn't get called on in between. in between the meeting. I got called right when I got home, and I'm, like, able to share. I think I'm in a good place right now. I'm 9 months sober. I luckily met Oren yesterday at a whole different meeting, and, you know, I had him, we talked for a little bit, and I love his vibes, you know. He's very, very connected with AA. And it's something that I feel like we have to surround ourselves, especially if, you know, some of us don't really work the program like I do. And it is hard. It's not like, you know, they tell you in the book that it's simple if you follow the steps and do the work. But nobody tells you really how hard it is when you're doing the work, especially if you're so full of your pride, your self-centeredness, your selfishness. And it's something that I pretty much feel like I work at every day, every day. The good thing about AA is that my higher power, I relate to God. I grew up in a Christian household. So he has always been there for me. I've always believed in that. Even when I was doing all my things that, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing. So he was always there to protect me. You know, for whatever reason, I think God has a plan for me because I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm unharmed. I'm not in jail and I'm not dead. So I think that, I would like to believe that there's a bigger plan for me and for all of us who come to these rooms and who try to do the work or are doing the work. I just love being here. You know, it's a whole different, I don't know, a whole different mindset, you know, once that fog is lifted. And I know when I first started coming, I hated it. I cried every day. I was court ordered to be here. I still am. But I don't do the bare minimum, you know, and I probably don't do as much as I should be doing, but I'm mostly doing more than what I should be doing. But I'm not doing it because I'm court ordered to do it. I'm doing it for me because I want to stay sober, because I know what I'm like when I'm drunk. And I don't want to be like that anymore. It turned me into something that I was ashamed. I was so lost. I felt like dying. There was multiple times where that happened and or where I tried. And I couldn't go through with it. And I would like to say that my higher power most definitely had, you know, a role to play in it. I don't know. I'm just lucky to be here. Or not lucky. I should say blessed. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to meet, to be able to come into these rooms. I'm a Zoom baby as well. I believe in the pandemic, so I try my best not to go to in-person meetings. I've gone to only a couple. You know, and I think we're all lucky to have AA where we can do a hybrid meeting. Some people in person, some people online, you know. I don't know. I love all of you. I don't know any of you personally, but, you know, coming into these rooms, every person that comes into these rooms and every person that shares or just by being here, there, has a huge impact in me, you know. And if it wasn't for you guys and if it wasn't for my higher power, I wouldn't be here, you know. So I want to believe that my spirituality is, like, somewhat there. I might feel like I don't pray enough or I don't meditate enough, but I know it's there and I know it's doing for me what I can't do for myself. And as long as I put in some of the work, because I know I'm not putting all of the work, and I can at least be honest with myself about it, I know that once I get too comfortable, that I need to change something or that I need to do something else or I need to do more, because I know that once I get comfortable, we get into a routine, and then we that little, like, idea comes into our minds, you know, oh, we could just have one. We've been doing so well. No. Oh, for the real alcoholics, there's going back. There's no going back to being a normal person. And as much as I'm a blessed day, doing so well, those thoughts sometimes come back. And I'm like, oh, I could just, like, sit here and have a cool one. I mean, I worked all day. But I'm like, no, because one's too many and too many is not enough. And most of us know that. So I know that about myself, and I know that I can't, you know, I have to completely stay away from it as much as I want to take a sip or take a shot. No, there's none of that. And again, you know, it goes back to my higher power because I feel like, you know, he's taking care of that part of me as long as I don't drink, as long as I come to a meeting, as long as I reach out to a fellow alcoholic. I have the books, the literature, I pretty much have all the books. I don't really read them, even though I should. I do slowly progress. And I do talk to my sponsor. She's always there. I love her. she's that type that, you know, you put in the work as much as you want to stay sober. So I know that when there's times I lag, like really lag, the work. It's slowly but surely, it's a slow progress, you know, not perfection. So, anyways, that's it for me. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Next, yeah. Hi, my name is Crystal. I am a recovery drink alcoholic and a recovery drug.
Hi, Crystal. Welcome.
I was drinking for 9 years, and I stopped and I did drugs for 3 years, and then I stopped because I realized that I was making money for houses, and that's what was. So I look up YouTube on what it's like to not get those, and I realized I wanted them. So I left the state, and I came here. When I came here, I had a problem. And then now I'm crying here, so they can get them drinking to the city when they're hearing me. So that's what I'm doing.
Hey. I know, Crystal. Thank you. Well, that does bring to the end of our meeting. The Valley Group encourages a sponsorship and service to our fellowship. We invite you to come early and stay after the meeting to get better acquainted with our fellowship. If anyone is in need of sponsorship,